We start hour number two, though, by talking, well, by reminding you that the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is, in fact, with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And then we start the second hour by having a conversation with a good friend of the program. He is an insider for MLB Network. He is an MLB.com columnist. NHL Network, also on his resume. Fox Sports. You can watch John Morosi across MLB Network's programming, including MLB Tonight, which is going to air live before and after every LCS and World Series game. John will be in Arlington next week covering the World Series on site for MLB Network. John, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, my friend, always love the conversations, and thanks for the invitation to be on the show today.
Thank you for saying yes once again. I always look forward to it, John. Thank you. So when the Dodgers announced that Clayton Kershaw, John, was going to miss his start last night because of back spasms, you made the point that it was really important that Tony Gonsolin pitch reasonably deep into the evening. What were you thinking then as you watched him go 1-2-3 in the first three innings?
Well, early on, Jim, I thought his stuff was very sharp, but eventually we saw the fact that he had not thrown a competitive pitch in 17 days. And as brilliantly as the Dodgers played throughout the first couple series, I think there was a toll there on the fact that Gonsolin didn't get involved. And so because of the Kershaw injury, they had to go to Gonsolin in Game 2, and his resume this year was sparkling. But as the game wore on, the Braves' at-bats got better, and Gonsolin just didn't quite have the feel for his full repertoire to make the adjustments and give the Braves hitters a different look on the second time through the lineup. So that's really when he got stung. Interesting right now, Jim, that you think about the Dodger rotation. The only starting pitcher on the staff to record an out in the postseason in the sixth inning or later is Kershaw himself. And he's not due to come back in the rotation because of the back spasms until Game 4 at the earliest. Best case scenario, because of course Urias goes here in Game 3. So the Dodgers, Jim, they were my pick at the start of this series. I still believe they can get back in it, but nothing has gone according to plan so far for the Dodgers in this NLCS.
John Morosi is joining us once again. That's an amazing fact that you just laid out. What about Freddie Freeman? Then comes the home run to Freeman in the fourth. I mean, how locked in is this guy right now and really throughout the course of the entire season?
Incredible. And brave after brave player has said during the last couple of days, whether it's Ozzie Albies, whether it's Mark Melancon, that what we're seeing now on the national stage at the highest moments of the season is not that different from what they've seen from him all regular season long. And that's why, in their opinion, in the opinion of everybody in the Atlanta orbit right now, this is the MVP of the National League. And he's playing like it. Certainly for him, his first time in the NLCS, I think we're really getting a chance to see now, Jim, just what a brilliant player he is. He was, I think, at times overshadowed by other first basemen in the National League, whether it's been Albert Pujols early in Freddie's career, certainly more recently Adrian Gonzalez and Anthony Rizzo and Paul Goldschmidt. But now he is in the NLCS and on this grand stage, and it's the calmness and quiet of his approach. He almost never gets fooled. He's always balanced. He's got great power, a very smart hitter. Jim, he is a superstar at the peak of his powers, and the Dodgers, the mighty Dodgers, who we all thought were going to go to the World Series, are now just two losses away from elimination.
John Morosi joining us. I think most of us did assume that, and they're down 2-0. So, John, you mentioned Kershaw. When do you expect Kershaw to pitch, and then what kind of performance are you expecting to see from him coming off those back spasms?
Well, it's the key question, Jim, because you're right. It's not just getting on the mound. It's who is he once he is there. And I think overall Kershaw has gotten very little credit for the great playoff appearances he has had. He actually has 11 playoff wins this century, which is third most in the game. You don't think that maybe because of the struggles he's had at times, but he's actually got a pretty good track record in a lot of other moments. I think he'll pitch tomorrow. I do in Game 4. The leash may not be quite as long as the Dodgers would have hoped. They may need to have somebody like a Dustin May potentially in reserve. For Kershaw, he has to leave early. But then you start thinking about the scenarios of, okay, if May has to come in and pitch in relief of Kershaw in Game 4, who starts Game 5? Because remember, there are no off days in the NLCS this year. And Walker Buehler, as we know, has been dealing with this blister. And so if Buehler can only ever go four innings when he's on regular rest, or maybe five, What could he do on short rest? So all of a sudden, this team with so much pitching depth has a pitching shortage, and it really is a surprising turn of events, but they need Kershaw to be vintage Kershaw tomorrow simply because of the way they've managed the pitching situation and the way their other pitchers have performed.
Right, John? I was going to say, John Morosi joining us. You answered that in part, but I was going to say to you anyway, what do you make of that decision to pitch Dustin May for an inning and two-thirds in Game 1, and what does that mean for him for the rest of the series?
Well, Jim, that's a really important question, and I am a little puzzled. I think overall, I'll take a step back and say, if Dodger fans are targeting Dave Roberts for their criticism here, I don't think that's fair, because I think a lot of the moves that Dave makes with pitching are done with heavy influence from the front office. That's just the way that the game is managed now. There's a lot of conversation there and a lot of optimizing of the data to make those decisions. But I do think at times the Dodgers, they're so smart. At times, I think they have outthought themselves. And with May, I think that's the case. There's very little that I have issue with how they've handled things, but May is the one example. He pitches in relief in Game 1 of the Division Series, and then he starts Game 3 on a day of rest and pitches one inning. I don't get it. That did not seem to me to be the spot to use him there for an inning against the Padres in Game 3. Why not use a regular starter there, and then potentially you could have used May to have Game 1 of this series, and then you back Buehler off a day, and then your pitching is better rested to begin with. I didn't get that. Either he's a starter or he's a dynamic, dominant reliever that you're putting in high-leverage situations all the time, but they're trying to make them both at the same time, Jim, and it's not working. They're left with a lesser impact of someone that should be, frankly, one of their highest impact players on the entire roster.
I think that's extremely well said. And I'm not sure who is fully responsible for that decision, whether that's part of groupthink. I don't think that Dave Roberts just makes that decision on his own, and I'm a huge Dave Roberts guy, but I agree with you. That makes no sense to me. I don't understand their use of him and why they put themselves in that position. John Morosi is joining us. John, let me jump over to the ALCS, the Tampa Bay Rays. Man, they're really something. They are rolling right now, and watching them last night, you see them make one great defensive play after another, one diving catch after another. When you watch this team, and in particular what they're doing in the field, what kind of thoughts do you have?
I'm saying that it's the 2015 Royals all over again, Jim, and we know how that series ended. They won the World Series that year, the Royals did. And just the excitement they're bringing. Dan Shulman, my friend and colleague, made this point that it really, they're a team right now, the Rays, that they're making defense fun. We don't often think about watching baseball for the defense, but I would tune in a game or go buy a ticket when we can do that again and watch this team play defense. They are so much fun to watch play defense. It feeds off each other like the Rays, like the Royals did back 5 years ago, where they almost wanted to one-up themselves in each other with a great play. Oh, you made a great play at shortstop. I'm going to make a great play at second base. I'm going to make a great catch in center field or right field. There's that passion and excitement to constantly make a great play, run to the dugout, and then say, hey, look what I just did, and look what you just did. It's just, they're having so much fun. It's an infectious way to play the game. And I think, Jim, a team that plays the way the Rays play, they're the perfect antidote to whatever criticism comes to the game about, oh, it's too slow or too boring. This is not a boring team. I defy anybody to watch the Rays and tell me it's a boring team. They're not. They don't score 15 runs a game, but it's excitement all the time. They're a great representative, I think, of the sport, and they're one win away now from the World Series.
Oh, they're not boring at all, and they're having a whole lot of fun. John, I'll say somebody who's not having fun, Jose Altuve. He does not look like he's having a good time at all. He's making costly errors when it matters most. How surprising has that been for you to see, and what's going on exactly with him?
Well, it's a great question, Jim, and it's obviously concerning. Even Dusty Baker acknowledged his concern that perhaps Jose could be developing the yips at second base, which is obviously a very concerning situation. And we have seen careers derailed by that. And of course, it's only been a handful of games, so it's hard to diagnose it and say, well, it's going to be with him for a while. But we know, and we've seen it happen before in sports, that once those ideas, and once that issue happens to a player, it can be really hard to get rid of it. It can take sometimes days, sometimes months, sometimes years, and we've seen careers derailed by it. That's just the reality. I hope that's not the case for Jose, because I've always enjoyed my conversations with him in the past, and it really is the kind of thing that can haunt an athlete. So let's hope for his sake that it's not something that's long-lasting, and that he's able to get the help that he needs to kind of get through it. But it's a very onerous task, and I found it ironic, and on there is a positive, hopeful note of this last night, that Tyler Matzek, who got the win for the Braves, went more than 5 years between major league appearances, Jim. He had the yips as a pitcher. He was a first-round pick of the Rockies, got to the major leagues, and then lost the strike zone. Couldn't throw a strike, and was treated by psychiatrists, psychologists, and eventually got himself back. And in fact, last year, Jim, he was pitching for an independent league team called the Texas Air Hogs in Grand Prairie, Texas. And that team plays 7 miles away from Globe Life Field, where last night he received and earned his first postseason victory of his career.
Amazing. John Morosi, MLB Network Insider, MLB.com columnist. You can watch John across MLB Network's programming, including MLB Tonight. It's going to air live before and after every LCS and World Series game. And remember, John will be in Arlington next week to cover the World Series on site for MLB Network. John, you're the absolute best. Appreciate you, the conversation, as always. Thank you very much. Great job.
Jim, you're the best in the business, my friend. Always love my conversations with you, and thanks for having me on the show again today.
You too, John. I'd say the exact same thing about you. You are the best in the business, and I appreciate our conversation and the relationship. John Morosi makes it a point to come on the program, and we ask him pretty frequently to come on the program because there's nobody who does it as well as he does it.